One thing that I was thinking about throughout this week was the importance of promises and promises made and promises kept. I was actually reflecting on a promise that was made to me growing up. When I was about 4 years old, my parents took me to Disney World. We had an incredible time, and it was absolutely magical. But during our time there, because I was only 4 years old, in case 4 year olds are not very tall, there were not a ton of rides that I was able to ride. And so what ended up happening is I would get passed back and forth between my parents while the other one took my older sister on the rides. It's a very traumatic time as a child. I remember watching my dad and sister go down that log ride, I don't know what the name of it is, and then hit the water, and four-year-old Josh didn't understand that things can float on top of water. And so I was like, oh my gosh, they've drowned. And it was a traumatic memory for a while. But because of that, because I wasn't able to go on all of the rides, they made me a promise. They promised that at a day to come that they would take me back to Disney World. And so when I was 16, I got to realize the fulfillment of that promise, and they took me back, and me and my mom had an incredible time. Here's what I think is true about promises. Fulfilled promises can act as a reminder of somebody's love towards us. Fulfilled promises can act as a reminder of somebody's love towards us. And so this morning, if you have your Bible, I invite you to turn over to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1, we're going to be in verses 21 through 23. And here is what I want us to see here, is that God demonstrates his love for us in the way that he keeps his promises to us. God demonstrates his love for us in the way that he keeps his promises to us. Matthew chapter 1, verses 21 through 23 says this: "She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which means God with us. Would you take a moment just to join me in prayer? Dear Heavenly Father God, Lord, I pray that today we understand the promise of your love towards us, God. God, I pray that we are able to sit in that, we are reminded of that, and we rest at that in that, God. It's in your name that I pray. Amen. Often when we open scripture, what we'll do as we read a passage is we'll look at surrounding verses and we'll look at surrounding chapters to do what we call contextualizing, or give us deeper meaning for what a passage means. But today, as we look at Matthew chapter 1, we actually have to go further than just what is happening in the surrounding verses and chapters. We actually have to go to other books of the Bible. We actually have to go all the way back to Genesis to really fully understand what is happening here in Matthew chapter 1. Think back with me to Genesis chapter 1, the very beginning of the Bible, and remember that God creates everything. And he creates man, and he creates woman, and he creates them to be in relationship with him. And the promise he makes to them, or the covenant he makes to them, is that he will care for them, he will protect them, he will love them, he will provide for them. And as a demonstration of their love towards him, that they are to obey the things that he has commanded them to do. Well, it doesn't take long for humanity to not hold up their end of their promise. And so all the way back in Genesis chapter 3, we already see this relational tension between God and man. But God, being a good God who desires relationship with his people, had already made a plan of salvation. One of the first promises we see in Scripture happens all the way back in Genesis chapter 3 is God is handing down consequences to humanity. He still makes a promise to us. He says that there is coming salvation, there is coming good news, and he has a plan for that all the way back in Genesis chapter 3. And we can look back and see that that was the first promise of a Savior who would restore relationship between us and our Creator. There are many promises throughout the Old Testament about who Jesus is going to be. In fact, there are 350 plus of them all throughout Scripture. Matthew here in chapter 1, verse 23, is actually quoting one that Isaiah gave several hundred years before. And in 1:23, when he says, "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which means God with us. He's calling back a prophecy so that the reader remembers God promised something, and here in Matthew chapter 1, we see it being fulfilled. All throughout Scripture, this is who God is. He is a promise keeper. He delights in keeping his promises, and it makes it evident to his people that he loves us. 350 promises, 350 prophecies about Jesus, all fulfilled in the person of Jesus Christ. It's an incredible number, and so here's what I'd like to do. I would like to demonstrate kind of how incredible this is. And so if I could get 8 volunteers under the age of 16, yep, come on, come on, yep, come on, here we go, yes, come on, come on, yep, come on, yeah, come on, buddy. And then here we go, 2, 4, okay. Y'all all come stand right here. Right here is perfect. Here we go, and I'm gonna give you all a ping pong ball. And hold on to that, hold on to that. Hold on to that, here we go, here we go. Here we go, couple more. Here we go. Okay, I'm gonna run out. Here we go. Oh, you got one, here we go. All right, here we go. Okay, here's what I want you to do. I want you to all stand right there, okay? I'm gonna come back up here. I'm gonna make a prediction. I'm gonna prophesy right here. I'm predicting that every single one of them in here in a moment is going to throw that ping pong ball, and they are all going to make it into this cup, okay? All right, on the count of 3, I want you to throw your ping pong ball into the cup. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Great job. Perfect. Okay, you can go sit back down. Give it up for our volunteers. Okay, so to be completely honest, my initial plan was to give out a ping pong ball to every single one of you and have you all throw it. And then I was sitting at lunch with my dad about 2 weeks ago, and I was telling him my idea. He said, "You're going to throw 350 ping pong balls from where they're at?" I said, "Yeah, it's going to be great." He said, "You know, 350 people are going to be hit in the back of the head with a ping pong ball." That's a good reminder. How incredible would it have been if all of those had made it? How much more incredible it is that the person of Jesus fulfilled every single prophecy that was made about his birth, his life, and his death. It's absolutely incredible. Isaiah 7:14 reminds us of a prophecy about his birth, that he would be born of a virgin, who we know is Mary, and that he would be given the title Emmanuel, God with us, because he, being fully God, came down to earth to dwell among us. The word became flesh and dwelt among us. But there are other prophecies and promises in the Old Testament about who Jesus would be. And part of the reason we are able to celebrate Christmas, the birth of our Savior, is directly tied to this promise of his death and what it meant for us as well. If you have a Bible, you can turn back to Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah chapter 53. If you don't have a Bible, that's okay. It's on the screens behind me, and it says this. "He was despised and rejected by man, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." Here's what I want us to see here. Is that you are loved enough that God would become man and take your sin upon him so that you and I could have right relationship with him. As we look, as I was praying about today and what to kind of share, my prayer was similar to that of Ephesians 3:14-18. It says this, "For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have the strength to comprehend with all the saints, and listen to this part, that you would be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. Believer, this is my prayer for you at Christmas, that as we remember the promises God has made about who Jesus was, we remember that it was out of love for us that he sent his Son. And that is a great encouragement to us, because we know that the God who fulfilled all of his promises in the Old Testament in the person of Christ has made additional promises to us. And we can trust him. He's a good father. He cares for us. And so we can rest in that. You may be coming in today and you find yourself in a place of hurting. Maybe it's relational tension. I'm not sure what the case may be, but you might find your place yourself in a place of hurting. The promise of Scripture that God has made is that he is your comforter, and we can rest in that. You may find yourself feeling alone. You may feel isolated. You may feel far from others or far from God, but here's the promise of Scripture, that he has given you his Spirit. And so you can rest in the promise of his presence in your life. You may feel anxious, and here's the promise of Scripture, that you can cast your worries to him. He can handle that. It's a beautiful promise throughout Scripture. We know God is a promise keeper, and so when we read Scripture, we know that he will not fail to fulfill the things he promises in Scripture, and that is good news for us. But not only is it good news for us, it is good news for others as well. And so this Christmas, as we reflect on a Savior who was given to us, would we be quick to remind others around us who do not have that relationship with the Lord, would we be quick to remind them of his faithfulness and his love for them as well? Think about the shepherds. As they encounter Jesus, what happens? They go and tell. And so as you encounter Jesus, would you this Christmas season go and tell? Believers in the room, I pray that you are encouraged with the knowledge that God keeps his promises and he loves you. If you are in here and you say, hey, I don't have a relationship with God. I don't have a relationship with Jesus. I don't know what that means or what that looks like. Here's my prayer for you. It's the same prayer out of Ephesians 3:18. May you have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. I pray today, if you don't have a relationship with Jesus, would you be overwhelmed that he loves you and he desires relationship with you? And so this passage is an invitation into that relationship. It makes it simple. In Romans 10:9-10, it lays out how do we come into relationship with an all-loving Father who sent Christ. It's twofold. It's that we believe in our hearts that Jesus is Lord and confess with our mouth that God raised him from the dead, and you will be saved. If you're in this room and you have questions about what relationship with your Creator looks like, if you're in this room and you have questions about what relationship and what repentance looks like and what coming into relationship with Christ looks like, we would love to have a conversation with you. And so here in a moment, our pastors will be around the room. I'll be around the room. We've got other people around the room, and we'd love to talk to you about what that means. Here's how I want us to end. Is in a passage that is going to be familiar to many of us. You'll probably recognize it. It was probably the first verse you memorized growing up. And I think a lot of times we can see something so often that it becomes mundane to us, but I hope that we remember the promise of this. It's John 3:16. It's for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, he gave Christ, that whoever would believe in him should not perish but have eternal life. God loves you, and he keeps his promises to you, and this is why we celebrate Christmas. Let me pray for us. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that we are always overwhelmed by the reminder of your promises to us, God. God, I pray that we constantly and consistently in our lives are reminded of your love for us. Thank you for being faithful, God. Thank you for being faithful when we are faithless. God, I pray for the people in here, God, who are struggling to remember your presence in their life. They're struggling to remember your goodness in their life, God. I pray for anybody struggling to see you in their life, Father, would you overwhelm them with the reminder of your love towards them specifically, God. God, I pray for anybody in this room who has not yet begun relationship with you, God. God, you desire relationship with them. Would they be reminded of that? Would they remember your love for them that is made manifest in you sending Jesus Christ to earth to take their place on the cross and 3 days later rise again? Father, you're good and you're merciful and you're loving. It's in your name that I pray. Amen.